Amen.
Two things this morning. I want us to open up in prayer. Number one, let's remember all our pastors out with our mission team. They're in Honduras, so they'll be there this week. I want to pray for that. Also, too, we just had to send Brother Donnie home, not feeling well. We're not sure what's going on, but Dara just took him. Literally almost passed out here. So I want to go, Lord, in prayer. We'll start our services off with that and ask God to be with that. Father, we come to you this morning on behalf of Brother Donnie. Lord, I'm praying for his health right now, God. I pray that you would just be with him, strengthen him, God, heal him. Be with Dara also as she cares for him. Lord, we don't know what's wrong, but you do. And I pray that you would lead them in the right path and to the right doctor. And God, I pray that you just be with them right now. And Lord, for our medical team this morning, I pray that you would bless them. God, give them the patience they need that need to hear the gospel. Lord, not just the physical healing, but God, the eternal healing of the spirit. And Lord, we ask that you would just do a great work there using our team. Lord, we ask you to be with us today. God bless this sermon now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 23. Most of y'all go, well, I've heard that 100 times in my life. Get out my pen and paper and start doodling. That's all right. You might want to doodle. That's all right. But Psalm 23, I tell you, it's so hard when you're praying about what to preach and God lays these familiar scriptures on your heart to like, God, you got anything in Ecclesiastes or Song of Solomon, you know, or I want something different. And God kept bringing me back here. A few weeks ago, I did a Bible study at the fire department with the guys, and we went over Psalm 23. And as I was doing the Bible study for them, God was working in my heart about one portion of scripture in here. And I was like, all right, okay, that's good. And it wouldn't leave me alone. I'm like, Lord, you know, and then he reminded me, hey, you're going to be preaching. And so this has been on my heart. And so I want to share with you today just a portion of the scripture that maybe you never just thought about, or maybe you have and you go, wow, good job, buddy. And high five. Let's go home. But I want God to do a work. I want God to do a work on the hearts of the people. And by the way, he said, my word will not return to me void. And so it will not this morning if you'll just receive it. And so Psalm 23, very familiar. Most of us could quote it. But let's look at it together on the word of God. It says, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want you to look specifically this morning at verse 5, and I'll preach on the subject of a prepared table, a prepared table. But look at verse 5 again, if you will. The Bible says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so I want to look at that phrase today. What does that mean? God is saying he has prepared a table for us in the presence of our enemies. And I want to look at this psalm as a whole also, but if you look at Psalm 22 portrays our God as the good shepherd. You know these, by the way, you've heard this. Psalm 23 is he is the great shepherd. And Psalm 24, he is the chief shepherd. All throughout the Bible, God is using analogies or used the occupation of being a shepherd as many different illustrations in the Bible. Matter of fact, we know that this is a Psalm of David. And this Psalm of David is David being a shepherd, right? As a young child, he was a shepherd boy. And God's using that. And he's showing us in this portion of scripture like many other illustrations. Matter of fact, in John chapter 10 and verse 27, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. John 10:9 says, it says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. In Psalm 100 in verse 3, it says, know ye that the Lord, he is God. He that made us and not we ourselves, and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So many times throughout scripture, God uses the illustration of him being the shepherd and us being the sheep. And there's a lot of reasons why, because we are like sheep. We're not the smartest. We need guidance. We need help. We need the goad. We need the rod. And we need all those things in our life. But as we look at Psalm 23, God wants to, through the eyes of David, the shepherd boy, so to speak, he wants to give us an illustration of what the great shepherd is to us. Matter of fact, in verse 1, we know that He is our shepherd. And if you have Jesus, if you have the Lord God in your life, you don't need nothing else. I shall not want. By the way, you don't need religion. You don't need other things. You just have God, and that's all you need. You see in verse 2 that the shepherd provides all that you need, that He provides those things in our life, that He makes us lie down in green pastures and beside the still waters. We see that also in verse 3, the shepherd keeps us and He guides us. Aren't you glad He keeps us and He guides us? Yeah. And then in verse 4, we see the shepherd is with us all the way and He comforts us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Thou art with me. I'm glad He's always with us. And as you look at verse 5 again, we see that He has prepared this table in the presence of mine enemies. Do you think David, as a shepherd, as he writes here, he also is a king? And as a man, David had many enemies. Maybe one named Saul, who basically chased him and tried to take his life. We see that even his son, even Absalom, chased his father, and he had many enemies. The Philistines and all the Steens and all the evil people of that day were the enemies of God, or the enemies of David, because David was a man of God and he was a prophet, he was a king of God. We see that God, or in David's life, there were many enemies. But as you begin to look and you begin to notice this word, it says, Thou preparest a table. A table in the Bible is a very special place. Now, there's different types of tables. There was tables of stones or tablets of stones. But a table per se is talking about a place where people come to meet, to eat, and to fellowship. Matter of fact, we still use tables today, maybe not as good as we used to, right? We use our TV trays and our laps and our cars, right? But in these days, matter of fact, I looked this up because I'm not that smart, obviously. But the tables in the Bible, there was one table that mentioned, if you study this out, it talks about a king's table. A king's table was very specific because only certain people were invited to it. Only certain people could come to this. And even in David's time, we see that David invited some guests to his table. And boy, there's some special meanings to the table even in David's life. But people that he had helped throughout time and throughout that he allowed to sit at his table. Then we see there was a table in the common house. But also in the common house, the table was a place where you would sit your guest in a special place. Matter of fact, you study this out in kind of history, that they would even put clothing on them and they would wash their feet as they would come in, and they would have a special place at the table and that the guests would serve first. Growing up, I remember my dad was always the first served. Matter of fact, sometimes I don't even know if I remember my mom eating. She would make sure, my wife's the same way. My wife said, oh, I'm not really hungry. Maybe we didn't have quite enough for everybody. My wife would be, oh, I'm not hungry. She is a liar. I knew she was hungry, but she was willing for her family to eat first. And that's just amazing to me. And of course, I wouldn't give up none of mine. Not that great of a husband. I don't want to set the bar too high. But the table was a special place. It was a place for the family to meet together, to have fellowship together. And here in our story, I believe David's thinking about how many people he had at his table and the special times that they would have. Now, the table in the Old Testament was a little different than maybe we have today. We have tables today that we sat and we bring the chairs to the table and we sit around. Hopefully your table's a little bigger than this one, unless you're single. But here's how, if some of y'all can't see me, I apologize, you should sit over here. Some of y'all can see me. But we sit here and this is how we would eat. But in the Bible times, this is not what they would do. They would lay on the floor. I may not get up. But when you see the Last Supper, Jesus would have been sitting kind of like this at the table. And literally, the next person would be right here, and it would be a time of personal interaction with one another. And we're going to use, for the sake of today, because I can't get up and down, this table here, all by myself. Let's pretend this is a big table. I love when at my house, my family to sit down. Of course, Bailey doesn't sit. She sits at the bar because it's easier for her to shovel it in. But I love when I look at my table and my kids are seated down. We're all seated there. It's amazing the conversations that come up at the table at the house. But could you imagine if God Himself prepares the table for you? I remember growing up as a kid, most of you probably do too, unless you're real young, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. Growing up, whenever I would go to my grandmother's house, when you went to grandma's house and lunch was served, we call it dinner in the South, and she, at 12 o'clock on the dot, we come in out of the field, and grandmother had that table spread. Listen, you remember these days, you had one meat and 25 sides, and you had some type of bread, and she had your dessert ready. And then she wanted you to go back out in the field and work again. And I, when you sat down at that table, boy, it was a spread. But I'm telling you, my grandmother could cook. Both of my grandmothers on both sides could cook. My wife can cook. But listen, can you imagine if God Himself prepares a table for you? You see, I want us to look this morning at this prepared table, and I want you to see, number one, I want you to see the Savior. Notice the first word of this verse. It says Psalm 23, verse 5, it says, Thou. David says, God, you prepare a table for me. Aren't you glad this morning that God has a table prepared for you this morning? That we see the Savior, that He's there in this first verse, and David's identifying who made this table. It was God Himself. You know, this morning, and there again, going back to my grandmother, especially on my, well, both my grandmothers were great cooks. It's funny because my grandmother on my mom's side was a great baker. She could bake bread. She always made a fresh loaf of bread, and she'd always make desserts. And then my other grandmother was good just cooking food in general. And it's just amazing. You go in there and listen, when my grandfather said, you're coming over for lunch, I didn't look for an excuse. I was on my way. Why? Because I knew my grandmother had good food. I mean, it was always more than we would ever eat at one setting. And when my wife cooks, listen, my wife cooked for the fire department this Friday. We had people showing up at the fire department, didn't even work there, because they heard my wife made her lasagna. And listen, we had the police department there. I was like, well, I don't know if we're going to have, everybody was showing up. Why? Because they've heard about my wife. Most of them have had my wife's food before. And man, we sat down at that table and that lasagna was gone. We had one newbie there, 18 years old, 3 pieces of lasagna. Finally had to, hey, other people are eating. But man, that food that was prepared, every time my wife cooks, I go, I don't care what it is. She can prepare skunk and it would be good. I don't know what she does to the food, but I know that it's going to be good food. And man, when she calls me, I'm like, oh, yes. But you know that person you go that calls you to eat at their house, and you go, don't act like you, if you don't know that person, it's probably you. I don't know nobody like it, but nobody ever wants to come to my house and eat. Huh, I wonder why. You're microwaving roast. You can't do that. Stop doing that. Get rid of the microwave. And, it's amazing that somebody calls you and says, hey, you want to come over and eat with us? Yeah, I'll be right over. But could you imagine if God Himself says, Michael Wiggins, have a table prepared for you. And listen, He said, thou, look at number 2. We see the spread. I like this. Look, notice the next part of that verse. He says, thou preparest a table. Yeah. Thou preparest a table. Now listen, I'm not reading into this, but I'm not thinking that He's talking about a woods, a place to sit and just, okay. Listen, God doesn't ask you to come to church without feeding you. God doesn't ask you to open His word without feeding you. So literally, I believe that this table, and as we get on through these verses, because He talks about my cup being full and all these things, that He's using an analogy of food and using an analogy that this table's prepared. And listen, when God prepares a table, He gives you a spread. I think about this so many times. You don't come with your plate full. You know how we come to God's table sometimes? I just happen to have one. We come with our plate full of dum-dums, Smarties. I love Smarties. I literally want to eat one right now. And popcorn. See, this is how we come to the Lord's table. Well, I didn't get anything out of that service today. Right, come on. It's because you came in with all this junk. Uh-oh. You dum-dum. Not talking to y'all, I was talking to this. But here's what God wants you to do. Noah, clean that out. He's our janitor. But here's what it is. And so many times I thought about this. I thought about come with an empty plate. But after I read this, I even thought of something that God was showing me in this. You don't come to church even with an empty plate. You come and he's already got everything on this plate that you're going to need. See, when David sat at this table, God put everything on there that David was going to need to be king. Everything David was going to need to be a husband. Everything David was going to need to be a Christian. Everything that David was going to need for today, for tomorrow. And God had it on the plate. David just had to come and sit down. So many times we come to church and we got our plate with us. I don't need anything from that preacher. Well, good. We don't want to give you anything anyway. Go down to the Methodist church. I'm kidding. Sort of. No. This plate looks like a clover. Does anybody else think that? It's weird. But man, we don't have to have an empty plate. Thou preparest a table before men. And if you could imagine all the spiritual things that God has put on this plate for you, and he says, and he invites you, he begs you, hey, come and dine. The master calling, come and dine. And he has a table prepared for you. There is a spread on this table. Listen, God has everything that you need. If you'll just come and sit with him and feast with him. I ain't got time for that. You make time for it. Listen, you chose to come to church this morning. Praise God. Now some of the younger kids, maybe not. But you're here. And I'm thankful that people come to church.
Amen.
Man, I'm glad that when these doors open, man, it's like, where do these people come from? Half of you don't even live in Hazlet, but you still come to church.
Amen.
And I'm like, man, why are they here? I'm here this morning not to see you. No offense. I love you guys. I'm not here to show myself this morning, but I'm here that I may eat at the table of my Lord and Savior and that he may fill me with the things that I need for this week, because you know what? Tomorrow I may get that phone call that says you have this, or this has happened, or this tragedy's happened, or whatever. God may call me to do something tomorrow, and today I want to feast at his table, so I'm ready to do exactly what he wants me to do. If I could picture, I'm trying to be very kind, by the way, because I'm thinking so many things, I'm not letting them out. But that's what you say right before you say what you're going to say. But I'm speaking for myself. I come in and I'm so full of the world, yet God can't put nothing on my plate. You ever heard this term? I know you have. You got a lot on your plate. I say it all the time. I sure do have a lot on my plate. But is it what God wants me to have? Or is it... I really want to eat one of those so bad. Just junk. Nothing with any spiritual value on this plate at all. But here's what he's begging David. David says, Lord... I've never seen the righteous forsaken, by the way, right? Or begging for bread. But I want you to think of this. David in his mind is picturing, and some say that in this psalm that probably David was a little older, maybe past some things. We don't know exactly. But David's looking back on his life. And he remembers the times when he was a shepherd boy. And he remembers the times when he thought that his dad and his brothers had forsaken him. And David was in the field and he said he saw the lion coming, the bear coming, and he handled that. And boy, he's like, man, God gave me the strength to do that. There's no telling what he can do in my life. And he surrenders his life to God. And God uses him as a king. Even before he became king, God anointed him king through Samuel. And David had to go through some school of hard knocks, didn't he? David's family began to fall apart. But David looks back and he says, listen, the Lord is my shepherd. Listen, I know what it's like to be a shepherd, David says, but the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. David's thinking, I remember the days I was out there and I wish somebody would bring something to me. I was so hungry. And here I am having to take care of my brothers. David just says, you know what? I remember the nights when it was lonely out there, but God was with me. I remember those times. Though my family had forsaken me and though I felt like everybody, God was with me. David says, I remember the time I almost died a few times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he says, God, I know you were there.
Amen.
But God, I remember the time when all those enemies were around me. And I'm just sitting at the table going, bless their hearts. It's just me and God. Isn't that amazing? We see the Savior, we see the spread. The third thing, I want you to notice what else we see. We see the security. The security. Here he says, in the presence of mine enemies. In the presence of mine enemies. He says, listen, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's the one that got me. When I read that, I was like, what does that mean? It means all around David, the enemies are, notice what he says, in the presence of mine enemies, not Brother Stone's enemies, mine enemies. The familiar enemies in my life. He says, thou preparest a table before me. Doesn't that seem weird? Your enemies are out there and you're just sitting there going, you don't care about them. You don't know why? Because I'm eating at the table of the Lord Jesus. Some of y'all can't see me. I'm eating at the table with the Lord God. I'm focused on Him and not on all these things going on around this world. Listen, this world's crazy. I live here too. Everybody seems to be losing their minds, except for us here in this auditorium, and some that are online, and some that are in Honduras. But other than that, it just seems like, what is going on? But listen, you know what we can do as children of God? I'll do it over here for you guys. I ain't worried about it. Listen, when I sit down to eat, it's not in the middle of a house fire.
Good.
Right? You know what happens? Ooh. You know what happens when you get in a place in your life where you're distressed and discouraged? What's the first thing you don't want to do? I don't feel like eating. Just sick to my stomach, everything going on in my life. But God says, wait a minute. You need to go to my table.
Yeah.
And listen, all that, you ever been behind bulletproof glass? I don't know if you have. Some of y'all been to back cop cars. You know, it's like, thank God y'all got out. Time for service today. We keep a fund for bail money around here. But I don't know about you, but when I sit at my table, it's not when everything's falling down around me, it seems like. But I should. Can I show you this? Go over, if you will. I love this. Go over to Psalm 27 just real quick. Psalm 27, David's going to give us a little more about this security. Listen, though the world around us may be raging and all the things of this crazy world may be happening, David says this, I ain't worried about it. Look at verse chapter 27. Look what it says. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Right.
I'm not worried about those enemies.
Right.
The Lord is my strength and my life. Whom shall I be afraid? The wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat of my flesh. And guess what? They stumble and they fail. Though an host should encamp me against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. What? One thing I have desire of the Lord that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord, dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Almost sounds like the end of Psalm 23, doesn't it? To behold the beauty. Notice this, the beauty of the Lord. By the way, if you're focused on the enemies, you're not seeing the beauty of the Lord at His table. He says, and inquired in His temple. Verse 5 says, and in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And notice this, I love verse 6. He says, and now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies. Nanny, nanny, nanny. Around about me, therefore, will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifice of joy. I will sing and I will sing praises unto the Lord. David says, listen, I'm just going to sing praises unto God because He's good. He's good all the time. Even when the enemies are around about me, I'm just going to sing. I'm just going to praise Him. Why? Because they can't do nothing to me. Funny story one day. I preached a meeting. I think it was in Aransas Pass or somewhere down there. Maybe not. But after I preached one night, we went to Whataburger, God's country. And basically, we took up almost the whole restaurant, and there was two guys sitting behind us. We paid no attention. Well, at that time, we just let Bailey kind of roam. And if you don't know Bailey, Bailey's our handicapped kid. I have to say that. so I can get a love offering. But we just let her roam because she loves to hear conversations. She'd walk up behind you and just listen a little while. Well, we got into eating our Whataburger and our French fries, and I was like, where's Bailey? We look over at Bailey. Those two guys are seated on each side of this table, and Bailey's like this. She's just reaching in, grabbing their fries, and just giggling. And I go, oh, I am so sorry. And the guys are like, well, that's fine. We didn't know what was going on either. I was like, Bailey didn't care what was going on. She's just like, I'm just going to go over there with these two guys and eat their fries. She was having a time. I mean, propped up just like, that's my wife. She was propped up like this right here. She knows I'm talking about her. She just propped up like Brother Stewart. You know how Brother Stewart does it? Just eating fries. And I thought, my soul, she ain't worried about nothing. Amen. And I think about my life sometimes. And I go almost, oh no. What am I going to do? God says, come here. Sit down. Enemies are just, and you go, I can't hear them anymore. I can't see them anymore because why? I'm looking at my Lord. And I'm admiring His beauty and His grace and His mercy. And I don't care about what's going on anymore because why? He's filled my plate with everything I need. I'm going to give you the last thing this morning. I'm done. I want you to look, if you will. There's so many. By the way, I got to give you this verse. Isaiah 26:3, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because why? He trusts in thee. Listen, this morning, you're worried about everything in your life. Quit worrying and start trusting. Listen, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. But God can. God can work it out this morning. And then the great thing about the table, you know what God's nourishment does for you? Number four, it gives you strength. See, David found strength in the Lord. You can read it in Psalm 22, verse 19, Psalm 27, 1, 4, verse 14, and Psalm 28, verse 7. David several times talks about the strength. The Lord is my 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 strength. Listen, when you sit at the table of the Lord, and I wish you could get the picture this morning, just sitting down on the floor. He maketh me to lie down. And green pastures, that means that's plentiful. He leadeth me beside the still waters, and I can drink from those waters. And he ends up, he says, he anointed my head with oil. And by the way, at that time, they would take the oil and they would pour it down and it would run over them. It was showing God had a purpose for them. David had already been anointed by Samuel. He had a purpose for David's life. And listen, everybody has a purpose in God's economy. But David ends it and says, in verse 5, he says, but my cup runneth over. You know what? When's the last time your cup ran over? You know the reason your cup's not running over? You're worried about the enemy. You need to quit worrying about it. Listen, there's somebody here today that just needs to pull up a chair to God's table and just trust in Him and rest in Him. Don't trust those doctors, even though we need doctors. I'm not saying we don't. Don't trust in that credit card. Don't trust in this person. You trust in Him. And boy, when you sit down at His table, I'm telling you what, I literally this week I had almost ran a lap. If I was in shape, I would have. I just did it in my mind. I was sitting at my desk and I said, what if Jesus was on the other side of my desk and we're just having a meal together that He prepared? And I go, wow, glory. I know I'm Baptist, but I got Pentecostal in me. Sorry. And I thought, wait a minute, spiritually, that's what He wants me to do every day of my life. Our lives are so hectic, aren't they? We have more conveniences today that inconvenience us. Maybe today you just need to whoa your horses and just come and just sit at the feet of Jesus today and say, Lord, fill my cup, Lord. I give it up, Lord. Yeah. And Lord, here I am. Just take and just fill me today. Amen. He says, thou anointest my head with oil. We don't use oil anymore, but we do have the Holy Spirit that can fill our life, anoint our life, and lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's why we're here this morning. We come and we want to feast at the table of the Lord. Listen, I don't know your needs this morning, but I know a God who knows your needs. I got to get it out one more time. He's got it prepared for you. He's got a plate prepared for you. There's nothing like walking into the house. My wife says, I prepared a plate for you. She says, I didn't put the onions on there because I know you don't like them. I love you, baby. Because she knows me. My wife puts a little extra of the Rice-A-Roni on there because she knows I like it. She knows it. I mean, she has that. She's like, I know exactly what you want. And I look at that plate. I don't never have to go, I don't want that. I always go, good job. I'm telling you, she does a great job. I'm glad I married her, not you, buddy. But man, I walk in, she has that plate prepared. And God says, I got a table prepared for you. Why don't you come sit with me?
Amen.
And He will allow you to sit with me. Let's stand this morning, heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thanking you for the table that we can sit at. And God, my heart is broken for the people this morning who are allowing their enemies to dictate their life, their every move. And Lord, maybe those enemies are just things in their life that they've allowed to come in. God, I pray this morning that they find a place at your table just to sit down with you. And God, just adorned with your beauty. Lord, just taken over by that. And God, that all the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace. Lord, and you have a table prepared for us, God, exactly what we need. Lord, help us to come feast. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing a verse.